Welcome to my favorite time of the week. It's the MIP time, the Michael Irvin Podcast. I am the playmaker, Michael Irvin, and what a great show we have for you today. We will discuss the Steelers at 9-0. Drew Brees, fractured ribs, collapsed lung, out 2 weeks. And did you see that incredible game? The Cardinals win on a last-second Hail Hopkins. I ain't saying no Hail Murray. Hail Hopkins. The catch is the most difficult thing. And guess what? I got Aqib Talib, one of the best corners to ever play in this game we call the NFL. And he will tell me how he would have defended that Hail Hopkins. Plus, we got my playmakers of the week. So let's jump right into my favorite time of the week, the MIP time. Let's start this thing off with big deal or no big deal. Folks, the Steelers are 9-0 for the first time in franchise history. Just think about that. First time in franchise history. Since the start of the Super Bowl era, the Steelers never been 9-0. First time in franchise history. Big deal, no big deal. I say this is a huge deal. A huge deal. So many things are circling around this right here. First of all, we had this new playoff format where only the first seed gets the bye. The first seed gets home field advantage, even though we're not packing stadiums. It's still home field advantage, and the Steelers have that. But here's the big kicker and why it is such a big deal. Did you know since the start of the Super Bowl era, 21 teams, including the 2020 Steelers, 21 teams have gone 9-0. Out of those teams, 11 reached the Super Bowl, with 7 of those teams ending up with the Lombardi Trophy. Now, that's why this is so incredible right here. Can you imagine right now, if you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, you're going to be saying, we got better than a 50% chance, a little bit over a 50% chance right now, almost midway point of the season, to go to the Super Bowl. Boy, you'll love to hear that. We got a 33% chance right now of winning the Super Bowl. 9-0 gives you that confidence. And I always tell you, remember these, the things that I always say, hope will dictate effort. Right now, if I know I got 50% chance of getting to the Super Bowl and a 33% chance of winning it, do you know the kind of effort you can get out of me? You can get effort out of me all day long because I got all that hope. And I always tell you, Jimmy used to tell us, boy, we want to win Super Bowls. And right now, when you get this kind of a start, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, like Jimmy told us, you ought to be able to hang from a tree by the parts down below to get this Super Bowl. That's how close you are to it, be able to do anything you need to do to complete the task. That's a big deal if you go 9-0 in this league. Now, going undefeated throughout, that's something else. Let's see them win a few more games, and we'll come back and visit this soon, real soon. Next, Drew Brees suffers fractured ribs and a collapsed lung. He's out at least 2 weeks. First, I want to pray for him and tell him, you know, that we're praying for you and blessings, and I hope you heal well and heal real soon. Big deal or no big deal? It's impossible to say. This is no big deal. It's impossible. Drew Brees is only one of the greatest to ever play the game, to ever play the game. He leads the NFL right now, all-time leader in attempts. Nobody has thrown the ball more than him. In completions, nobody has completed the ball more than him. In pass yards, nobody has thrown for more yards than him. And pass TDs. Nobody has thrown for more pass TDs than him. So absolutely, this is a big deal. Let me give you a little knowledge on that last one, that pass TD. He only has one more than Tom Brady. And if he's out 2 weeks, that one will tinker back and forth. Tom will pass him, and then they will finish the battling when he gets back. But this is absolutely a big deal because you lose the all-time leaders in all of those passing categories, and you pick up Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, the Saints' next three opponents, right? He's out at least 2 weeks. The Saints have the Falcons this week, Broncos, and then at the Falcons again. If Jameis Winston, who last year in Tampa threw for over 5,100 yards, 5,109 yards to be exact, that's a great season by yards. And then he threw for 33 touchdowns. If he threw for 5,000 yards and 33 touchdowns, there's no way he would not still be in Tampa. But the other category got him out of Tampa. 30 interceptions. 30 interceptions. And let me tell you why all of this is a big deal. Jameis last year in the no risk it, no biscuit offense. Jameis Winston, he played deep to short because that's what no risk it, no biscuit is. We don't risk the deep ball. We don't risk it. We don't get the biscuit. So they throw deep to short. In New Orleans, they play the game short to deep. That's why Drew Brees has all these attempts and all of these completions, because he's throwing the short passing game. Boop, boop, boop. Get the ball in the playmaker's hands. I said about Jameis Winston going to New Orleans, I said this is his greatest, greatest blessing. It can also be his greatest, greatest curse. Because if you don't make this work with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and he's a master at it. Sean Payton's a master. Look at what Teddy Bridgewater looks like now. Teddy Bridgewater, he looks like a real quarterback. Sean Payton teaches you how to play pre-snap football at the quarterback position. Get the ball out of your hands quickly. Dump the ball off. Get it to your playmakers. Jameis Winston, if you can learn this, if you can pick this up and learn this, oh, my God, he could take off. He could really take off because he can play the short game and he has an ability to still play the long game. Play it when you have to. Don't play it all the time. Forget all that no risk it, no biscuit. You risked it too much and they took your biscuit. That's why you had 30 interceptions. Let's play smart right now. And if you don't play smart, you may be ending your career as certainly as a starter in this NFL, because they're going to say if Sean Payton couldn't get you right, nobody could. So, Jameis Winston, it's a great opportunity, but you better make the most of it or it will be your last opportunity, at least as a starting quarterback. That's a big deal when you're the all-time leader like Drew Brees is and you're no longer playing for your football team. Did you guys see that Cardinal wins over the Buffalo Bills? Them Cards been putting up some pretty good wins lately, huh? We can say that. The Cards beat the Buffalo Bills 32-30. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The end of that game was insane. It was absolutely insane. And we'll discuss that in a minute. But let me get to this. Is it a bigger deal that the Cards won or a bigger deal that the Bills lost? And there's a word I want to drop. This is tantamount to me. These are equal to. That means equal to. Both of these are about equal of a big deal, because it's a big deal for the Cards to win that way with that last second play. Kyler Murray is still a young guy. You saw how all of those guys acted on the sideline when they looked at Kyler Murray like, oh, my God, what a great play. Nobody could have made that play. Oh, my God. They get confidence in the young kid when he makes those kinds of plays. So it's a huge deal for the Arizona Cardinals. I don't care what else happens. With that one play right there, DeAndre Hopkins said to everybody, even though we already knew it, Arizona won this trade by big time. Can you imagine being a Houston Texans fan and sitting home and your record is what it is and you're losing all these games and you look up and see your best player playing for another team, catching that kind of game-winning touchdown to have to help the other team win while you're losing and losing and losing and hurting and hurting and hurting. All I can tell you, Texas fans, is take a page from Michael Irvin. If you watch Game Day Morning, I got me a support champ. I got me a little stuffed animal. He's my support, emotional support animal. You will never get DeAndre Hopkins back. Get you an emotional support animal. And every time DeAndre Hopkins does those things that he did, just rub your emotional support animal and get your emotional support, because it will hurt for the duration of your time he's in Arizona making plays like that. Now, I'm going to tell you why I say it's tantamount to the Bills, the loss for the Bills, because the Bills had that game won. And they wanted to know, can we match up the top talent around this league? They had that game won. They leave, they get on the bus, and they're sitting there stunned. But when they come up out of it, what are they going to say? Man, we're right where we want to be. And they are. We're right where we want to be because we had that game won. We lost that game, and they'll call it this, on a fluke, last second play. They'll call it a fluke. They'll call it a fluke. Even though they had three dudes, that's why they'll call it a fluke, because they had three dudes right back there when the ball came to D-Hop and they couldn't stop it. Them three dudes have promised them that that won't happen again. And I can tell you how they can make sure it won't happen again. All they got to do is turn on the MIP and listen to Aqib Talib tell them how to defend that. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. He knows how to defend it. They need to make sure they listen and call it film session. It'll be more than they can ever learn listening to the coaches that they'll be talking to, because Talib lived it. He's not just coaching it. He's not just talking it. He also walked it. So you should listen to him talk it, because he walked it. That's all. I'm just giving you that. I'm not saying that the MIP is going to educate you and make you a better football player, but I am saying that the MIP is going to educate you and make you a better football player. You need to listen to what Talib says about how to defend that play. That was a great game. A great game. Speaking of great game, because the Cards, you know, the Cards beat the Bills last week, but they get to play the Seahawks this week. And the Seahawks are coming off. The Seahawks lose a second straight game. Their second straight game. Is this a big deal or no big deal? To me, this is a no big deal. This is a no big deal. Not just because they lost the game is no big deal. You know, nobody's really going undefeated. We'll check back with me in a couple weeks on Pittsburgh. But the Seahawks right now, they are getting ready to play the Cards. Both teams are 6-3. Cards are right now in front because they won the first matchup in overtime by 3 points. So, yes, you lost two games in a row. But you know what, Seahawks? You can be right back where you want to be with the win Thursday night against those same Arizona Cardinals. That's why I'm telling you that right there is no big deal. And Russell's not going to keep turning the ball over like this. So that's more of an anomaly, not his norm. That's one of the things Russell's been great about, protecting the ball, making the smart play. I can give him some advice on this. Everybody's been talking about let Russ cook. I believe in letting Russ cook. But the great gourmet meals, all those 60, 70, 80-yard passes up the field to DK Metcalf, I'm saying still cook those meals. Those are great big meals. We got Thanksgiving coming up. Speaking of big meals, I hope all of you enjoy Thanksgiving. We'll talk about that. So enjoy those big meals. But come on down, buddy, and cook a few appetizers. Some of these little 5 and 6 yard passes. Get those things going. Get some of those involved. Get DK Metcalf involved with some 5 and 6 yard passes. That's a big deal. You got to get that going. You cannot let DK Metcalf go into this game against Arizona and not have a good game against Patrick Peterson, who shut him down in week 7 after he didn't have a good game last week against Jalen Ramsey. There's a psyche of it. And I remember Norv Turner and my offensive coordinator. And one time I said to him, I said, man, we're playing Deion, Darryl, Nias with some one of these Hall of Famers I had to play. And I said, man, hey, I'm going to be ready. He said, Michael, I like my job. My job is to get you the ball. You don't have to keep saying it to me. I like my job. I know if I want to keep my job, I got to get you the ball. And then he said this to me. He said, I cannot allow anybody to take you out of the game. He says, you think it messes with your head. It messes with everybody's head on our offense. If they believe that somebody can take out our best player, where will they have confidence? He says, so no matter what, I cannot let them take you out the game. So Seattle, you got to understand this. You cannot let anybody take DK Metcalf out the game. Stop just trying to go over the top and get him some early passes in, early short passes to make him feel good about who he is, to make the offense feel good about who he is. And then you will continue to roll and roll big. Hey, Titans lose to Colts 34-17. This is last Thursday night. Big deal, no big deal. I tell you, this was a big deal for a couple of reasons. First of all, on our broadcast last Thursday, everybody picked the Titans. And I said to him, I said, no, don't do this. Don't do this. Because as soon as the Colts win, everybody in Colts land is going to retweet this picture of all of us on TV with the Titans pick. And just as sure as those Colts win, one, do you know everybody in Colts land, they tweeted that picture. Even tweeted right at me, Michael, this is for you. This is the only prediction you got right. Take this, Michael. Take this. Take this. I got more predictions right. But to them, it was the only thing I got right that the Colts fans were going to keep tweeting at me. So I call it a big deal for this. Michael Pittman had 100 yards. That Colts defense is so good, y'all. I'm telling you, it's so good, and it showed up and played. It's tops in a lot of statistical categories. They're one of the best defensive teams in the NFL. The Colts have to be moved up as serious contenders right now. That's why I'm saying this is a big deal for the Colts. They are now in the serious contenders race. Guys, did you hear? My boy Dana White announced it, and you know how big of a UFC fan I am. I ain't gonna lie. I was excited, and I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see it. Conor McGregor to fight Dustin Poirier on January 23rd in Dubai. Dana said this will not be a title fight. This will not be a title fight. Do I think there's a big deal or no big deal? As much as I love, and I'm gonna tell you something, I love. It's hard to determine where my love lies the most. I mean, it's football, and as soon as you finish with the L in football, you better start with that U in the UFC. I mean, I love them both together just like this. I love it like that. But Conor McGregor, the fight on January 23rd, to me, no big deal. I got a bone to pick with Conor, and I'm going to share it here. Like, Conor, come on, man. Come on, man. Who the hell do you think you are? Conor McGregor last fought was Donald Cerrone. And Cowboy is a good friend of mine. I love him. But he beat Donald Cerrone. That was January 18th of this year. Now he's going to fight his next fight January of next year. That's a year. That's a whole year. See, what has happened with Conor is Conor has gone over and tasted that Mayweather money, right? Mayweather gets $200 to $300 million a fight. So he thinks, since he's tasted this, that this is the only place he should eat in the $100 million range. Doesn't work that way, buddy. Mayweather is undefeated. So anytime Mayweather has a fight, everybody's tuning in. They're not tuning in to see him win. They've seen that happen 50 times. They're tuning in because they don't want to miss it when he has his first loss. That's why they tune in. You're not undefeated, Conor. They've seen you lose. They've seen you lose two of your last three fights. I know one of them was boxing and the other one was Khabib. And then you beat Cerrone. But you're walking around like you're the baddest man on the planet, and you're fighting once a year. Come on, man. I'm not going to get sucked into this. Get your butt in the octagon. Get back. Win four or five straight and then demand another fight with Khabib. And Dana White even said it. This will not be a title fight. Why didn't he make it a title fight? He said, because I believe wholeheartedly that Khabib will fight again. And Khabib will fight again, especially if McGregor gets out and win four or five extra fights and then have a belt. Again, Khabib will come out of retirement just because he hates McGregor enough and he doesn't want him to have anything. So I'm telling McGregor, stop with this mess. Fight once a year. You'll never get Khabib out of retirement. Get your butt in the octagon. Get some fights going. Get a belt and force Khabib to come and see you. Stop trying to go to Pacquiao and all these fights because you want to make $100 million. Let me see your manhood, not your pocketbook. Let me see that. Now I'm telling you, you're no big deal. Get real. Get real and get back in the octagon. Did you guys see this? I love this. And I love the story around this. The PGA, the Masters, that word tantamount I threw to you mean equal to, the Masters would be tantamount for a football player winning a Super Bowl. It would be tantamount to that. You won the Masters, man. That's like your Super Bowl. The Masters get a green jacket. Hall of Famers get a gold jacket. Every golfer that has a green jacket wears it around proudly, just like every Hall of Famer that has a gold jacket. It's what separates you. Dustin Johnson wins the Masters. He captures his second major title. Won the U.S. Open before, but this right here, the Masters, the biggest of them all, in the way he won it, set records, records. He was incredible in his performance. And why this is so important is because he's had opportunities to win majors after major after major before. And honestly, he had been known to choke. He had been known to choke. And I always say to people, is this a big deal or no big deal? This is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. And it's not just a huge deal because of Dustin Johnson. It's a huge deal because what Dustin Johnson just corrected is not just for him. Sure, now we'll look at him differently because we watched him. And choke is such a strong word, but choke. We watched him choke in some great opportunities and let championships slip away. But then to come back and lead and win this Masters the way he won it in record fashion, shooting those four rounds in record fashion. That says so much, and that's such a huge deal. You see, Dustin, this is for all that come after you, buddy. That's what this was about. I think about and worry about people that have had moments in sports that will last forever. Scott Norwood for the Buffalo Bills missed that field goal against the Giants. Buffalo never won a Super Bowl. Norwood, the rest of his life. Not just the time he has here on earth in time, but when he goes to eternity, all of his family members that come after him will be held to your dad, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your nephew, your cousin. He missed the field goal that would have given us one Super Bowl at least. We went to four straight, but all he had to do was make a field goal. You see what I'm saying? That's going to last forever. Dustin Johnson wiped that off his kid's face. Wiped it off his kid's face because he won in record fashion. So anybody brings up the time he didn't win, all of his kids, niece, nephew, cousins, brothers, sisters, they bring up the time that he did, and they tell you how he did it. He did it in a way that had never been done before, and it makes you shut the hell up and give this man his due. Dustin Johnson, Rocky Balboa said it. He said it's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and get back up. Way to get back up, buddy, and show them and dust off all that noise and take home the Masters in the green jacket. Your legacy your history, and all of your family appreciate what you did. That's a big deal, my brother. Now, let's get to my man, Aqib Talib. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheet and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Irvin. Schedule a free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Irvin. netsuite.com/Irvin. Joining me here on the MIP, the Mike Irvin Podcast, is a dude that I've always, always enjoyed, respected, just love the passion in which he played with. He is a five-time Pro Bowler. He's first-team All-Pro. And the most important thing of it all, he's won a chip. He has his ring. He has that bling thing called a ring. And he is a cornerback. The dude that I love watching and battling against all my years, those cornerbacks, Aqib Talib. And I got to get that right now. I'm going to tell you, complete. You know, forever to leave. I'll tell you, I saw that name spell AQ, and even when I'm on air, I would just say to leave. A Aqib.
Yeah. You know, Mike, you know, I heard it all, Mike. Come on now. I used to dread the first day of school, Mike. Like, shit. Here we go, man. You know what I'm saying? I done been caught everything. You know what I'm saying?
As a brother walking in, and the teacher said, "Aqib Talib,"
hey,
you had to stand up.
I was happy if she said, "Aqib Talib." I stand up quick, like, "Yeah, here I go, right here."
It was always what would she say?
Aqib Talib, Aqib. It was all kind of thing, man. It was all kind of shit. Some teachers used to see a G instead of a Q. It was a lot of Aqibs. It was all kind of shit, Mike. All my life, bro. I'm used to it now. Though. It's cool, though. They know the name now, though. You feel me?
They know it now, Talib. I want to get into that, Talib. Yeah, because wait a minute. What you just said, that sounds like something that a young man said one time, a long time ago. And I'm asking you, did you ever say that to yourself? Like, okay, y'all get my name wrong, but one day all of y'all will know my name. Did you ever use that as juice?
I ain't never really used it as juice, but I used to always kind of just, that's how I used to brush it off. You know what I'm saying? They always got jokes. Right. If I fire some, I always had jokes too. I could, you know, we call it firing each other up. So if I'm joking on you, we ragging on each other. I always had real good jokes, but they used to always get on my name. But that's how I used to brush it off. Like, man, look, like my name going to be famous one day. Like, Aqib Talib, everybody gonna know that name. Like, that's how I used to brush it off. So I kind of used it as juice, but I kind of used it to like speak it into existence. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. They gonna know how to say it. They gonna know my name.
Right. Were you brushing it off because you didn't want to deal with the pain? That's how you brushed it off to try to get back at him? Or were you brushing it off because you believed and you knew this? See, that's what I'm trying to ask.
Yeah.
Which was it? Well, I'm just getting over the pain, and then you fell up on becoming one of the best corners of all time? Or was it, oh no, I directed. You see what I'm saying? How did that come about?
I don't think it used to bother me like that. I say I used to dread the first day of school just because I know it's going to happen. But right. Honestly, I'm one of them guys who I like attention and shit. You know what I'm saying? So if you mess up my name, I like to be the one who stand up and say, hey, Miss Lauren, nah, it's a keep to leave. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a Muslim name. Like, yeah, I want to stand up, and that's my opportunity to get me a little spotlight, let the girls see me. You all know my name now, right? Like, everybody going to learn my name all at once. You feel me? Because I'm going to stand up and make sure y'all know it. So it wasn't like it was no pain or nothing like that. Shit, I love right. My name. My name mean, look, my first name mean the last to come. You know what I'm saying? I'm the youngest of four. My first name mean the last to come. My last name means student. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, listen, I like people to ask me about my name, and I like when it come up. You know what I'm saying? So I want to say I was doing it for the pain. I really was doing it for the attention.
Right, right. It's interesting now because you say this is it's a Muslim name.
Yeah.
Right, Muslim name. Well, okay, how'd you get a Muslim name?
My mom and my dad, they turned Muslim. I don't know how. They was Muslim for the longest, you know what I'm saying? So I was born Muslim, you know what I'm saying? My oldest sister, she wasn't born Muslim. Her name was Sharon. Then whatever happened with my mom and my dad, they started practicing Islam in Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? They got deep into it. So my next sister, Kai, my brother, Yaqub, and me, Akib, we was all born with Muslim names, you know what I'm saying? So, and then the year I was born, That's kind of the year that they separated and they stopped practicing like that. So, but they was Muslim for 20 years, married Muslim for like 20, 25 years, though. Changed their name and all, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's interesting. Your kids, what are your kids' names?
My daughter's name is Kiara. She don't have a Muslim name. Her mom is Christian, you know what I'm saying? Her name is Kiara. But my son's name is Jabril. And Jabari, them two Islam Muslim names too, you know what I'm saying? So Jabril and Jabari, they're my two little boys' names.
Yeah, those are good names, so, you know. Yeah. I always think, I know they're young, they won't need it now, but would it be a good asset for them later? And Jabril and Jabari?
Yeah, Jabril, J-A-B-R-I-L, Jabril.
That's a great name, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, baby? Jabril. Can you imagine when he walks up? Hey, what's up, baby?
Look.
My name's Jabril. Oh, really? Look.
Check this out. I'm telling you. Hey, check this out, though.
You want to say.
Check this out, though, Prime. Yeah. We was growing up. My dad lived in Trenton, New Jersey. So we was in Trenton, New Jersey. You know what I'm saying? And one of the dudes over there, my brother used to hang out with him. One of my brother good friends. I used to hang out with his little brother. He was probably the hardest dude. You got to lead us up like this. He was probably the hardest dude. One of the hardest dudes in the neighborhood, Mike. I'm talking about. He was mid-age, so he'd knock out a young dude, the old 18, 19-year-old dude, so he'd knocked him out too. His name was Jabril. You know, I never forget that. I'm like, bro, he the hardest dude in the neighborhood, bro. I got old. I'm like, man, I'll name my son after that boy. Straight up. They was Muslim and stuff too. It was like five brothers in the hood. It was Muslim, all that. I used to hang out with his little brother. My big brother used to hang out with his big brother, man. So that's really how my son. And then it's the angel. It's really the Islam. The Islam way to say Gabriel, the angel. So really you named after the angel. I'm big on meanings too. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Me too.
Yeah, I name my kids on their meanings. You know what I'm saying? Jabari, that means brave. It means brave. So that's why I named him Jabari, my youngest one.
That's a conversation I would love to jump into it because I've done baby naming ceremonies. It's something that they do in the Jewish community.
Yeah.
Where you know, the baby get named, the whole name, and it's just incredible. I think it's something that we need to pick up as African-Americans. There's certain things in other cultures that we need to pick up. We spend the money. We call them baby showers. We spend the money, but let's make it meaningful. You know what I mean? You can still do it. You can still party and do the same thing, but have more meaning to it. We do sweet 16 parties. You know, they do bar mitzvahs. They make things meaningful, and that's what you're talking about. So you can have a root to come back to later. That's what I like about that, man. That's why. But okay, Flea, how did you get into football, man? Let's talk about that. How did this thing transcend into football before? Because I want to ask you, how did you get into it? And then ask about some of the things that are going on around the league also.
Yeah, so we was in Cleveland, Ohio. You know what I'm saying? People don't even understand how big football is in Cleveland. It's some players, some athletes come out of Ohio. You take the Florida, Texas, the big old states away. The next small state, I think, is probably Ohio putting them players out, or maybe Georgia, you know what I'm saying? But Ohio putting some players out for real, for real. But we was in Cleveland, Ohio, and as far as back as I could remember, I used to just want to play football, playing with my brother. My brother was a super Cowboys fan, you know what I'm saying? So he watching you. He was Emmitt. He was Emmitt. And then as far as back as I could remember, I started being Irvin. So the first Irvin, you, I'm telling you, you was the first NFL player who I gravitated towards. You know what I'm saying? This before Deion, because you know, y'all won two Super Bowls without Deion. You know what I'm saying? So I'm already was on the Cowboys bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? I was Michael Irvin in the hood. You know what I'm saying? I was the youngin'. I could catch over the shoulder at 6 years old and all that. You know what I'm saying? I used to catch with my body too. If you look at all my interceptions right now, Irv, they all body catches. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I'm like,
right.
I'm like, okay, man, look, I'm like Irvin, bro. I'm in traffic. I ain't got time to be like this.
You know,
I'm like this, bro. Look, I learned how to catch from Irvin, man. You hear me? I swear to God, bro. But look, it's my big brother. My big brother was a diehard Cowboys fan. He already had it on his mind from as far as back as I can remember. He going to the league. Man, he used to make our schedules for the day, Mike. Like, we're going to wake up, eat some breakfast, watch cartoons at 9. 10 o'clock, we going out to get some work. Like, we used to go throw the football and everything. So, man, kudos to my brother, man. He really brainwashed me as a little kid. Like, we going to the league. We training right now. We got to get out the hood. So, that's kind of how I fell in love with football, man. Trying to be like my brother and watching the Cowboys and really falling in love and learning the game.
He taught you how to get on a schedule to be something. And that, yeah, you know, that's the one thing, man. That most guys, when they retire to leave, I'm going to be bringing that up. That's interesting. That's where they fall the issue, because we were so used to being regimented, and now you're no longer regimented since you are just walking away. You need to know that to make sure you know how to handle that. Well, let me tell you something. I want to go back to something you said, though, please. I want you to understand the brilliance of what you're saying. And I think the brilliance of what it was when I built it, when I started doing it. I try to tell people all the time, when I teach receivers, like, listen, man, stop listening to people. It's okay to catch that ball in your body at a certain time. In certain situations, when I'm running that third down slant and you expecting it, you hear everybody talking, watch Michael on the slant, watch Irvin on the slant. You know they say that on the field. The quarter, everybody's saying it. I'm running a third down slant. That ball coming, that's when I catch that ball, right on my chest. Because when you hit me, if I do it with my hands, you hit me, the ball's gone. It's
you hit an arm or something, like you can make me, you could dislodge me from the ball,
anything. That's where I came up with this. I was like, wait a minute, man, I gotta go catch these balls anyway. How can I catch these balls without, you know, not letting it get dislodged? And I said, it's okay, catch it in your body. As soon as they hit you, boom, least you may get knocked out, but at least I got them 8 yards.
You know, I'm telling you,
I got them
it's
8 yards.
It's for them traffic catches, like, and you think about, I play DB, so.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I'm going to have a nice, easy, I done broke on something. It's an extended reach out, hands catch. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, I'm going to be in traffic. It's going to be somebody else trying to catch the same ball I'm trying to catch. Man, I just got to get my body in. I got to shield and get this thing, man. So, hey, as my son right now, we practice both. All right, all hand catches. I'm throwing it to him. He catching everything with his hands. And then I'm like, all right, basket catches. Everything. Catch everything with your body. We practicing that shit. I don't care what nobody's
talking about. That's crazy. That's crazy. I promise you, man, I can't. There's a lot of guys that cannot do it. They cannot do it. That blows my mind. I'm like, how can you not catch in your body? But there are a lot of guys that can't do it. And I said, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. You can't do that. But let's get into this, man. When you played, man, I want you to tell me. You asked me this earlier. I want to ask you about it. Who were the baddest boys you played against in the league? Who would you say were the best receivers you played against?
Best receivers I played against, man. First on that list is Calvin Johnson. Just because this dude, he's 6'5". You know how big he is. Probably 240. Could easily play DN, right? You could easily put him in number 91. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, he looked like the best DN on the field. Like, that's how big he was. But he moved, Mike, like a Moss, a Santana Moss, like a da-da-da-da off the line. He was one of the quickest dudes that I guarded off the line, just like with his 1-2-3, his little quick releases, right?
Right.
So you got quick releases. You 6'5", 240, right? And then when he starts striking, he run 4-3, right? So he starts striking. He run 4.3. Now I'm running fast as I can run. Boom, the quarterback throw the ball. And then this man got Randy Moss-like ball skills. So he know how to track the ball, stop and go up and get it like it ain't nothing, right? So, man, it was – I remember a game in Tampa. I was following him left to right. He ended up with 2 touchdowns, only about like 60 yards, you know what I'm saying? But the jump balls, bro, Matt Stafford was bombing it. And usually I'm the king of jump balls. That's how I got
right,
here.
Right.
Ain't nobody catch no jump balls on me. Might have had my hands full, bro. I'm like, he was climbing. Look, I couldn't even really get a good jump at the ball because he had me running so fast. You know what I'm saying? But he running fast. He could stop and bounce where I'm barely getting off the ground. That was the first time I felt like, oh, shit. Like, he better than me at this. You know what I'm saying? At this jump ball situation, he better than me at this. I never felt like a receiver was better than me at that. Then I played Calvin Johnson, and he was better than me at that shit. You know what I'm saying? So it worked out, though. You know what I'm saying? It's definitely Calvin Johnson, number one.
That was the baddest. That was the best right there, Calvin Johnson.
That was the baddest. Then I faced the older Moss, a Patriot Moss. We played in London one time, and I played Moss on San Fran a couple times, too. But Moss had the gas. I experienced the gas that he had. And this was an older Moss one time. I don't know why I had it in my head. I'm like, I'm a quick jam his ass, right? I'm a quick jam Moss.
Right.
It's like, now I'm looking inside. Said, go, boom. I must have went to quick jam. He like grabbed my wrist and just pulled it a little bit, right? 1, 2, 3. He threw the hand up on me, Mike. I said, no. I was chasing him. Mike. I said, no. They ain't throw it to me, no, Mike. But I experienced it. Him not
they didn't throw it. Wait, wait. They didn't throw it. Wait. Talib, how many times have you watched Moss before that and you saw doo-doo and put that hand on me and say, oh.
Bro, I seen it 100 times, bro. I'm like, nah, he ain't going to do that to lead, though, nah. But when it happened to me, Mike, hey, it was slow motion shit. I was like, no. Hey, he took about 5 more steps. He looked back, and then he just motored down. The time ain't throwing the ball. But just following him around, just playing against him, and really, he ran over routes. I was really seeing that speed. He was by far the fastest. At that age, the fastest receiver that I ever played against, for sure. At that age, you know what I'm saying? He was probably in year 9 or 10. I don't even know, but the fastest receiver I played against, for sure. So, Moss definitely up there.
You said something about somebody that I knew because I raised him at Miami. When you described Calvin Johnson's feet, you said, boy, he has them quicks like Santana Moss.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people don't even know about Lil Moss. Now, Lil Moss, I took Lil Santana Moss. I brought him in at Miami. I used to take care of him and Reggie Wayne. They were my boy.
Yeah.
But Moss off that line of scrimmage was no joke.
Moss had, well, his little brother hit me one time. For Bill. Scored a tub on me, bro. I'm like, oh, shit. This the young man. His little brother hit me with something mean, bro. I'm like, oh, shit, bro. Did he just do that to me? Like a nice little back shoulder. My Tampa days, bro. I'm telling you. Both of them, though. I guard both of them. I remember the young one, though. He probably remember that shit, too. Hit me with something. Bop, bop, bop. Quick little something off the line. Like 18-yard fade, bro. But, yeah, the Moss boys, man, they definitely got some feet work, for sure.
Lee, do you ever get in that, man? Because, you know, you talking about Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss. Do you ever reach that status where, like, when I came in, Lee, dog, it was all Dell Green.
Yeah.
You know, Dell Green. You know, I was playing with Dion in college. You know, we hadn't played in championship games. We played in college, and you know, I had some success. I won all those games. I never lost Dion in college. Let me just tell you that. Yeah, I won all those games. So I was like, okay. I get the lead. It's Dell Green. I was like, what? I just can't wait. We play Dell Green. I'm gonna make my name on this joker right here.
You was in the division with him,
right? And I got to see him twice a year. We're gonna get back to that too, because the same thing that Ramsey and Metcalf battle they had last week, and the Metcalf and Peterson battle they will have this week. It's just what you talked about. I was like, wait a minute, this dude in my division. I got to see him the right way the first time and every time because I got to see him twice a year. But I wanted to make my name on Daryl Green. I can wait. I said, man, I hope they put them on me. You know, because first of all, it'll say that they think I'm good, and then it'll give me a chance to make my name. Now, Tilly, you had worked it to a place where did you feel like young guys were coming in the league saying, okay, I know you're a bad boy. I'm going to make my name off you.
Oh,
did you
definitely
feel that?
Definitely, definitely. I say by the time I got to, you know, my Patriot, my 13, 14, my Patriots Broncos, that's when the guys started coming, like, trying to make their name off me. I got guys' best shot, no matter, I'm talking about who it was. I didn't care who it was, man. Guys came out and definitely gave me their best shot. And I'm like, man, I don't even know. I didn't even see him on tape. You know what I'm saying? And he out here looked like he got something. And I just know it's all because this the hardest you ever gonna go right here. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely got that for sure.
Yeah, and it's a different thing when you know I got to see this dude twice a year. And I want, that's what I want to talk to you about. Because I watched last week, and this is what made me think about it. I said, man, I watched last week. I said, okay. I said, I watched that young Metcalf.
Yeah.
You see the guys now.
I love
you see the guys in the league now. I watched young Metcalf, and I watched him go up against Ramsey. And I remember I go against Daryl Green, Deion, all of them, and then I would go up against guys sometimes, Bobby Taylor. Bobby Taylor, good dude, man. I used to tell Bobby Taylor, and even Champ Bailey, I said, you know y'all got drafted to stop me, man. Y'all should give me some money now. Y'all owe me something. I got y'all drafted.
y'all owe that.
right. I got y'all drafted. They needed a big corner because I was manhandling all them little chumps they had.
Yeah.
So y'all got drafted high, and I love joking with them. But with Bobby, they would keep a safety over the top. And people say, oh, man, they shut Michael down. I would be so hot. Like, tell that dude to play me without that safety, right? I would be so hot about it, man. It used to run me crazy. But I love those little battles, man. I love those little battles. You talked about being in your division. Who would you say you had your best battles with? Wide receiver DB battles with? You told me how tough Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss here. But who would you say you had your best battles?
I say Steve, definitely, definitely. Me and Steve, he was in Carolina, and I was in Tampa.
Oh, and Steve Smith.
On my car, though, on my draft car, I mean, the shit on YouTube, you could see it, you could hear it. Groove say, hey, I need somebody to stop this damn Steve Smith, man. I'm like, come on, coach, let's go, let's get him. Like, you know what I'm saying? So from the start, when I got there, man, my assignment, my rookie year, you know, they got to let you get your feet wet and stuff. I was kind of playing. I was coming in. Rondé go to the nickel, and now I come in and play the other corner. That's my rookie year. I think I started maybe the last two games of the season. After that, my second year on, I was in the game. My assignment was Steve. So Steve was left. I was left. Steve was right. I was right. You know what I'm saying? And we had some battles for sure. You know what I'm saying? It carried all the way into New England and all later in my career. But it started in that NFC South. And we used to go back and forth, man. There's games where he got 3 catches, 100 in a tub, and this game's where he got 1 catch, 4 yards. You know what I'm saying? So it was to go back and forth, man. And you know, Steve gonna talk. He gonna let you know everything. He ain't gonna bite his tongue about nothing. So
about nothing.
So I definitely say Steve, man. He was a bully too. And you know, I wasn't a bully, but I always called myself, I was the bully beater upper. Like, you know what I'm saying? I see somebody bullying somebody, and I used to go look at him like, bro, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Throw my hands up. What's up, bro? Slap by me then. What's up? I said, let me get the bully out of the way. I know if I go somewhere and I knock the bully out, I don't even got to deal with all the rest of the people, right? I skip everybody, go straight to the bully. You know what I'm saying? So I always looked at myself. I'm the bully beater upper. Steve was like the bully. You know what I'm saying? So it was great matches, man. I used to look forward to planning. You know what I'm saying? Look forward to the wrestling match, the talking. And definitely no questions asked. For sure, Steve Smith.
What made Steve so tough, though, man? Is because you go from, listen what you just said, Calvin Johnson's and Randy Moss. Those some big dudes.
Those are
big, tall dudes, man. You know, and then you go to Steve Smith, who's not as tall. I better say it that way, because you know how fired up Steve gets if he ever hears it.
Yeah, you know how Steve, he'll be on your line, my line, early this morning, right? What made Steve tough, man, is he played like he was their size, though. You know what I'm saying? He wrestled with you. He's going to come out the line and throw you this way and run the other way. And at the same time, he wasn't the fastest receiver in the world, but he had great quickness. He had great balance. And he had great hands. And he was just a dog, bro. So from your blocking to the tackle, when he caught the ball, you had to tackle him. And he had to be his size, 5'10" guy or whatever. He caught deep balls like a big guy. He had great ball skills, you know what I'm saying? And he knew how to push off. He knew how to get his body in the right spot. Like a big dude, you know what I'm saying? Like you, like that's how you is, Mike. I got great body control. I know how to get to the ball, you know what I'm
that's
saying? I know
game.
When the ball in the air, I just know how to get myself in a position that I can shield you and catch the ball at the same time. And Steve do a lot of the same stuff, man. And shit, that's the game. Like you said, that's the game. He know how to make catches downfield. No matter what, no matter who guarding him, no matter what size he is, no matter where you at, he know how to catch that ball. So that's what Steve bring to that table.
Talib, man, you had a great NFL career. How long did you play for Talib? Well, total years. How many years you getting?
12.
You got 12 great years. Yeah, you know, life expectancy. You 3 years in the league, man.
Yeah.
You get 12 years in the league, you did something.
I can't complain, man. I can't complain at all.
Yeah, cause you got it all. You got a chance to win championships and everything.
Yeah.
So and make your money and be able to take care of your family. And now you're going into broadcasting, man. Talk to me about what it is you're doing now.
I did a little game for Fox this past Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Me and Dan Healy did the play by play. And I did the color commentating? I don't even know what it's called. Yeah, I did the color commentating, you know what I'm saying? I guess that's what I did. But it was cool, though. It was cool, man. I felt like a rookie in the box for sure. So it was so much. Look, I'm talking about the first half of the first quarter, Mike, might have been like my first practice, not even my game, like my first practice for the Buccaneers. Like, I just remember that first practice. It was like, horn blew, man. We was an individual. Oh, you did it wrong. Get your ass back up here, keep. Get up here. Then room the horn blew. Was going to the next drill. I'm like, shit, my socks wet as hell. I'm in Tampa. Look, my feet wet, my socks wet. I'm like, man, I'm gonna go change my socks. He like, hell nah, first team nickel. You up, keep. Get your ass in there. So it was like my head was just everywhere, right? Shit was going so fast. And then that booth on Sunday, Mike, shit was going so fast. I had a producer talking in one ear, I had the game in the other ear. Had all these screens in front of me, like monitors everywhere. And mind you, I did my audition for Fox. I did it during the pandemic. So I did it on a Zoom call in my entertainment room, right? So we watched the game. And me and Kevin Burkhart called the first half of a Saints and 49ers game. You know what I'm saying? So, man, that was nothing. It was night and day compared to what it was like in that box. You know what I'm saying? So that first half of that first quarter, man, if you watch it on TV, you can tell, like, he's struggling right now. I'm quiet, then I chime in at this part, then stop my thought. Like, I talk at this part, I had to find the rhythm. But I think, like, you know, as it went on, second half, I kind of found me a little rhythm. I watch right here, then come to my monitors. I know when I jump in to talk, it kind of slowed down for me. And it got a little bit better that second half. But all in all, man, I enjoyed myself. I had fun doing it. And I can see myself doing. I can see myself getting better at it. That's the main thing.
But that's right there. See what you said, though, and Talib, that's how you know you can do it. Because, you know, we think we talk football all the time. That's right. All we do. That's all we do. But talking it in that format is a different thing. Now, because you have such vast knowledge also, now being able to constrict it down and get it out quickly before that next play.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. You know what I found out even doing calling games? Like, I watch my position too much. Like, you know what I mean? I got to watch the line. I'm trying to watch Chump doing that wide receiver.
Hey, straight up.
Right, you know, I see everything out wide, but now I have to try to see it like a quarterback, which is a different thing sometimes, different thing. So I've always found it interesting. But it's fun, man. It's always fun. And you know, you know, that long as you're saying what you're saying, man, that you know you don't know everything, you'll be fine. That's the one thing I learned in this business. Boy, it's so much you can learn. It's not just talking. You know what I mean? And I try to learn it. One of my vocal coach just called. And, you know, we'll sit and do some stuff and go over some stuff. Little simple stuff. Like, he helps me with stuff like like little stuff Tilly Hill said to me. He said, why do you say, well, this is what I think is. He said, why do you say what I think? He says, you're saying it. We know it's right. What you think. So cut those words out. So Stop saying, well, I think, just you're the expert. You're supposed to know. Don't be telling people what you think. You're supposed to know.
And it'd be little stuff like that, Mike, that help you, right? I got a little coach, a TV coach who I use. You know what I'm saying? And he just tell me the smallest shit. Like, I'd be like, all right. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So
it makes sense. You'd be like,
it's a lot more than just going on TV. Never would have thought about it. It's way more than just going on TV and talking, though, for sure. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot more to it, a lot more that go into it, man. And that's what I think. I think I got to get out the mans and the I got to get them out. Once I get them out, I think that's my next step. For my next game, that's going to be my goal. Don't say man. Don't say You know what I'm saying? And I think that'd be a great step for me.
Yeah, and because they tell you, that sounds like you're trying to think of what to say. And it's sometimes uncomfortable to just have silence in there. Like,
right.
Because then it makes it sound like I don't know anything to say.
Exactly.
So finding that balance. It's up. Talib, I want to ask you about some of the current guys, man. I know you watch football. Right now, as you look at the league, give me the best receiver, your top three receivers, top three corners.
Top three receivers, top three corners. I'm going to start with the corners because that's a little bit easier to me. I'm going to go Gilmore, number one. Big, fast dude, man. And I feel like he got the best sticky coverage out of anybody. And he got great ball skill. He got some of the best finishes. You know what I'm saying? He going to catch the ball. He going to get picks and stuff like that. Number two, I'm going to go Ramsey. Same. You know what I'm saying? He might not be as sticky as Gilmore, but he may be a little more physical. You know what I'm saying? And his ball skills may be the same. You know what I'm saying? And then number three, I'm going Marcus Peters. Because Marcus Peters is he remind me of myself, man. He always got the ball on his mind no matter what. You know what I'm saying? He going to be one of the guys who on my heels in these touchdowns, interceptions for touchdowns. When he finished, he's going to be up there around 10, around 11. He's going to be up there around the record. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all he got on his mind is get a pick and go to the crib. Get a pick and go. You'll be surprised, Irv, how many corners don't got that on their mind. Like, how is you out here playing corner and you don't got the best thing that you can do as a corner is get an interception and score. But you don't got that on your mind. You get an interception in practice and you just start chest bumping. Nah, fuck that. Get practice. Get your practice in. Every pick I ever got in practice, Irv, I went and scored. And then it just so happened I'm third all time, right?
Right.
And that's because I practice that shit. Even if somebody tackle me, I'm still keep on going just to get that rep in. I need to be able to know I can get an interception and then run 70 yards. I just need to know that mentally. You know what I'm saying? So I think MP always got turnovers on his mind. And he probably the leader since he's been in the league. No, nobody got more interceptions than him. Probably nobody got more forced fumbles than him. Like, he just a turnover magnet. And that's how I feel like I was. Like, I was a walking turnover. I'm going to get the rock, and I'm probably going to score when I get it. That's how people thought. You know what I'm saying? So, then my top three right there. I say Gil, Ramsey, then my dog, MP.
And nobody gives him that.
Nah.
Say what you will. He certainly deserves it. He's a bad boy, man. And you're right. He will jump, and he's after that football. A lot of people are. And since you brought it up now, I want you to give me the top three receivers. But since you brought it up, let's talk about this. That play last week, that Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, most DBs play DB. They have all the skill set of a receiver, but they can't catch the ball.
Right.
Now, how do you defend what you saw DeAndre Hopkins do with three guys around him? Tre'Davious White, all of them, corners right there. How do you stop that play?
Man, I'm not going after Allen play like that. I'm not going after the ball, Mike. Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
I'm not going after the ball.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Mike, I'm going to jump and I'm going to grab his wrist. A little bit before the ball get there, I'm going to club his arms. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to grab hands, club his arms, grab them gloves. You're going to jump up there and make a one-hand catch with me. Like, I mean, I could put together a deep ball reel where Mike Evans, I felt like, oh, I can't, it's a straight jump ball. I can't out jump this 6'5 dude. I jump up, club his arms, rah, 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 rah. We fall to the ground, incomplete. In the AFC Championship game, Gronk, he threw something to the back of the end zone. I'm with Gronk. I jump, kind of use Gronk a little bit, climb up. He's still high. Club his arms, rah, rah. Like, it's just I'm not trying to break the ball up. I'm trying to make you not catch the ball. So that's why I think two guys could have went after the ball. The safety who came from the far hash, he should have been coming in just to strike him. He should have came in and just hit him. Like, everybody shouldn't have went and jumped up to try to break the ball up, man. You gotta separate his hands from the ball, and that's what I'd have did, personally.
Talib, I promise you, man. I promise you. I said that same. I was like, man, why would you go after the ball? Most DBs are playing DB because you can't catch.
Right.
You can't catch. That's why you. What don't and that small target, all them arms.
Yeah, bro. Grab an arm or something, bro. Like, everybody just got one hand at the ball and
right,
short.
Right,
everybody yeah. A full hand short, right? Like, I don't know. I ain't get it neither, Mike. But hey,
that's that little thing right there.
That little thing, you know what I'm saying? That propel that you to be who you is.
That makes a difference in everything. Like, dude, why would you do that? Like, oh my God, man. And now you will forever be posterized. Yep. Forever. You're on that forever. Don't even sweat it, man. Give me those top three receivers. You got Gilmore, Ramsey, and Peters as the corners. Talk to me about them three receivers.
Top three receivers. And I'm going right now. I ain't going like off your
right now.
Your body of work. Or I'm going right now. If I was taking three receivers right now, these are the guys I'm taking. I'm taking DK number one. I just feel like he present a real problem. And I see him going against these guys, man. Now some guys strapped him up. Pat Peter strapped him. He had a good game against him. You know what I'm saying? Same with Ramsey. But even in them games, it's some throws that could have made them games be different. Like, if this throw would have been 2 yards shorter in both games, that could have easily been a 4-catch, 100-yard game instead of a 2-catch, 20-yard game. You know what I'm saying? A few throws. So he still was moving around. He still was getting open. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go DK. Next, I'm going to go – I love Hop, right? I love Hop, but
– D-Hop.
I love Hop.
You love Hop.
I love Hop, but – when I played against him, he wasn't a super difficult cover for me.
So when I do my
receiver rankings, it'd be hard for me to put him in there because I'm like, man, Hot Boy, he was cold, but I was able to stay on him, and I'm a jump ball guy, so he wasn't really getting no jump balls on me like that. So it'd be hard for me, but everybody ain't leave though, Mike. So man, I'm going Hop number two. You know what I'm saying? Cause he dominate. It seemed like he dominate everybody else.
Everybody play against
week in, week out. But it's like I was expecting that when I played him, and I ain't really see it. He had a bad quarterback and all that, so there's a lot of stuff played a part. Brock Osweiler was his quarterback now, but still, the separation and all that kind of stuff, I was just expecting a little bit more when I seen it with my own eyes. But, you know, kudos to Lee, man. I'm Lee, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? That was just me. It was a different guy guarding him. So, man, I'm going Hop number two. I'm going DK. I'm going Hop number two. And number three, and let me scan through the team so I can make sure I ain't leaving nobody, man. I want to say Tyreek. I'm in between Devontae and Tyreek right now. Like,
right.
But if it was my team, I'm starting this team. Speed kills with me, right? So I'm going to take Tyreek, man. I'm going to take Tyreek just because I guarded him. Ain't nobody in the league been that fast. That's the fastest game speed receiver that I ever played against. You know what I'm saying? And I bet a lot of DBs can attest to that.
Yeah, I call him the most feared. He's the most feared, no doubt.
Most feared. That's real
fear.
Gas right there, Mike. That's real gas. He will run by your ass in a heartbeat.
It's interesting though. You said when you called by Metcalf, and I'll hit you with this, and then I'll let you go. But you say Metcalf top guy. Now I saw him, Debo Gilmore,
right?
He Debo Gilmore. See, so I'm listening to your analogy of it. You know, hey, Gilmore's the best, but Ramsey a bit more physical, a bit more physical, but sticky too. And I watch Metcalf a little, Debo a little bit, Debo Gilmore. but he couldn't really Debo Ramsey, even though he ran by Ramsey.
Right.
He ran by Ramsey. And I said, oh, so you're right about that. Ramsey gave him a little more physicality.
Yeah. Ramsey came and touched him and got physical with him a little bit more.
Yeah, you know what a dude for, oh man, oh my God. You know, James Hastings. Oh my God. Oh James Hastings. Oh, I never, dog, in my whole life. I always thought I was strong, dog. I ain't never met anybody strong like this dude. James Hastings, man. Oh, James Hastings, yeah. Kansas City, man. And James Hastings came up, man. I said, oh, I'm about to kill this joke. I'm about to kill this joke.
Yeah.
It took a hit me right there. I was like, whoa. Oh, what?
Listen,
I couldn't move. I know you, dog. I know I ain't the only person that have talked about how strong this Joker is, man.
Yeah.
I ain't never felt to do this talk. I was like, hey, man, let me go, man. My kid's watching this. Stop. What you doing?
Hey,
I ain't never met anybody that strong, you know. And that was the only time I ran into somebody. I said, I don't know what that right.
That was his skill. That was his strong point of his game.
That was his
physicality.
Yeah, if I get by that. If he backed it's over up, it was a different game.
It's over with. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So,
but if he touch you, it's something else. Ramsey has some of that strength, but also some of that sticky is what you were saying.
Yeah.
And how much, because DK, you saw what happened with Ramsey, but this week, DK got Patrick Peterson. Where is Patrick Peterson between Gilmore and Ramsey?
See, man, he almost like the right in between them. You know what I'm saying? He's sticky. He's physical. You know what I'm saying? He quick.
A little less physical.
Yeah, he's a little less physical than Ramsey. Maybe a little more physical than Gilmore, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And as far as like sticky coverage, he probably like right in between both of them. You know what I'm saying? So he's a good matchup. He's a good matchup for DK, man. It's not a lot of guys. Some guys, you just like, nah, he just can't guard DK. Like, he don't have no chance. But Gilmore, Ramsey, and Pat P., it's probably some of the only corners who stand a chance in front of him. You know what I'm saying? If we had to stop DK and you had to give me one person, I'm going to take, first of all, I'm going to say Gil. But then I threw Gil out there. He got the best of Gil. I'm like, ah, shit, who I'm going to take next? Next, I might take Pat P before I even say Ramsey, because that speed scared me. Like Ramsey could run, but he ain't as quick twitch like that. You know what I'm saying? His twitch ain't as quick. But so I'm like, I need somebody who got some quick twitch and can run. And a little bit of physical. So the second guy I might call, it might be Pat P. Man, I need you to handle this dude. You know what I'm saying? So it's a great matchup, man. It's a great matchup for DK.
It is a great matchup. And a matchup he'll have to battle with twice a year, dealing with the Ramsey and turnaround and dealing with the Patrick Peterson. Like I had to deal with Daryl Green and I had to deal with Aeneas Williams in my division, it is what it is. If you're the best, now you got you
and that make the best. That make you better though. That make you better though. Him being young like that, and then them vets though. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pat P, OG, year 10 or something like that. Gil, like year 8 or something like that. So you playing against vets in their prime. Like you going against guys who in their prime right now, and you still a baby. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that ain't doing nothing but molding him, man. He gonna be as long as he got Russell. He gonna be a nice receiver in this league for a long time.
I think so too, man. Right before I let you go, man, how real? What are the possibilities of the Pittsburgh Steelers going undefeated? You watch enough of them. What are your possibilities? What are the possibilities? And what do you think they would need to improve on in order to accomplish it?
I don't think they'll go undefeated just because, shit, I don't even think Mike Tomlin want to go undefeated. You know what I'm saying? So he had some week where, you know, you just – Let my guy freestyle a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if Bill really did that, but I used to feel like some games, Bill used to just put us out there and we're gonna play man all day. I'm gonna just let y'all this is a mental rest for y'all this week. But it's gonna be a physical challenge because y'all just gonna go out there. We're gonna play cover one all day. I used to feel like, you know what I'm saying? He gave us mental rest and it used to be games like not saying he wanted us to lose, but like if we lost this game, I don't give a fuck. We need to lose it. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes he do that, and I don't know. Mike Tomlin gonna do the same thing, man. It's gonna be a situation or something where, you know, dummy the game plan down a little bit, man. Y'all just go play ball. If y'all win it, then okay, we won it. But I don't even think he want to go undefeated, man, because it's momentum, man. It's momentum game. You almost want to catch your lumps before that tournament, man. Catch your lumps real quick, and then catch fire again before that tournament. So I don't think they'll go undefeated. But if they did go undefeated, shit, it's going to take the same thing they've been doing now, man. It's going to take them preparing the way they do, coming out with that confidence, man. They playing with the most confidence out of any team in the NFL as far as the receivers going crazy, the defense going crazy, D-line going crazy, man, and Big Ben running his show like a mug. Right. Big Ben is looking super confident, man, making all throws, throwing it downfield. And it's just going to take that same preparation, that same confidence that they playing with. They're going to have to keep that momentum all year. That's hard to do.
Tilly, man, I got to go, man. I got other appearances I got to do. I'm sitting here talking to you. Man, I'll talk to you all day, man. I'm just going to say goodbye, man. I'm running late right now, sitting around messing.
Hey, so get yourself together this morning, Mike.
You know I just do it all day long, man. I got these people calling me like, you got to go and everything.
Yeah, that's what's up, Mike. I appreciate it, bro.
I appreciate you, buddy. You're good, man. Okay. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir.
Love this, folks. It is time for the Playmaker to give you the Playmakers of the Week. And what some great games we had last week. I'm looking forward to some great games we have this week. But let me tell you what I pulled out of last week. And it made me say, oh, that's a Playmaker right there. Y'all saw it. Alvin Kamara. Man, Alvin Kamara went off last week. Get this. He only had 8 rushes, 15 yards, but 2 rush TDs in those 15 yards. 2 rush TDs, and then he added 7 receptions for 83 yards in another TD. The Saints won this game 27-13. That means, let me break this down for you. Alvin Kamara came in and gave you 21 points. He said, hey, come on, field goal kicker, help me out here. And the field goal kicker kicked another 2 field goals to give them 27 points. They beat the 49ers. When you walk in the game and you say, what's the score? They'll say, Alvin Kamara 27 and the 49ers 13. That's why Alvin Kamara, you get to be one of my honorable mention playmakers because that was making plays in a big way. Ronald Jones II, this was huge. Ronald Jones went 23 rushes, 192 yards and 1 rush TD. He also had 1 reception for 6 yards. He had a 98-yard TD run, longest run in Bucs history, tied for the 3rd longest run in league history. Tampa Bay Buccaneers waxed the Panthers 46-23. They needed to wax the Panthers after they got waxed by the Saints. So they did a turnaround as fair play, turnabout as fair play, and they put that turnabout right on the Panthers. Ronald Jones went off, and I'm telling you, if you can give Tom Brady this kind of run support, and now you're seeing AB and Evans and Godwin starting to come around, watch out. Watch out. Tampa can do it. Tampa can get it. If Ronald Jones can keep running like this, 23 times, 192 yards and a rush TD, Ronald Jones, you are a playmaker. But the playmaker of the week is my boy, D-Hop, 7 receptions, 127 yards, and 1 TD as the Cards win 32-30. As I thought about this, I said to myself, both of my boys are on the field today when I watch this game. Because I love D-Hop. I love Diggs. Spent some time with Diggs in Miami sometimes in the offseason. That's my dude. And I watched Diggs beat Patrick Peters. Boom, boom. And go and score a touchdown late in the game, 30 seconds left. They went crazy. Everybody went crazy. And Diggs did the money thing, looked in camera and said, that's why they pay me the big money. I said, wow, that is why they pay him the big money. And he just beat the cornerback that they paid the big money in beating Patrick Peterson. And then we flipped on the other side. Tre'Davious White, another cornerback they played the big money. D-Hop. Another receiver, they paid the big money. And man, Kyler Murray put that ball up in the air. And it was a moment that I'm sure D-Hop thought, because D-Hop and I have had this conversation. I said, D-Hop, my job every Sunday is to be the best receiver on the field. He said, that's my job too. And Stephon Diggs had just caught what they considered to be the game-winning touchdown. D-Hop said, wait a minute, My job is to be the best receiver on the field. That's where the 7-for-127 came. But the killer is this TD. It's a TD where nobody gave you really a chance. With 30-some seconds left, nobody thought you could go down and score a touchdown with 30-something seconds left. But they did. He did what everybody thought could not be done. It's the very definition of a playmaker. You're making a play that no one thought could be made. D-Hop, you are my playmaker of the week.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct against the spread. That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.